not the purpose, and it's primarily building period. The first, it looks a little drab up here, so I asked Rich to come help me decorate before we start. What is character? I found several quotes that I just really love. So I will read one of those. It's people who are honest, kind, and fair, only when there is something to gain, shouldn't be confused with people of real character who demonstrate these qualities habitually under all circumstances. Honest, kind, and fair only when there is something to gain shouldn't be confused with people of real character who demonstrate these qualities habitually under all circumstances. Character is not a fancy coat we put on for show. It's who we really are. By Michael Josephson. A response to hard knocks we receive in life shows our character. When we are squeezed under pressure, out of us comes what really is inside of us. So let's talk about building. When we go to build something, the first thing we need is a solid foundation. A solid foundation is knowing we must be born again. And that is when we change our sinful life. We are all born into sin. Before I was saved, Proverbs says the plowing, how is that verse? The plowing of the wicked is sin. Like, we're just sinners. Well, I never saw myself as just plain lost until I was almost 30 years old. One day God showed me, like, oh, I'm lost. Completely lost. Even if I just go about my work and do what needs to be done, when I recognize that I am lost, I called on the name of Jesus and I was saved. So that's what we need to do. And I struggled for a few years, like up and down. I realized that, yes, God saved me. He forgave me for all my sins, but I didn't believe in the power of the resurrection. When I was introduced to this, that Christ died to defeat sin, death, and hell. And that is mine if I believe it. I believed it. I searched the scriptures. When I was first introduced to this thought, I was like, I don't remember saying it, but the person that told, you know, we were discussing this, and that person said, my response was, that is crazy. I've never heard anything like it. But I searched the scriptures and I was amazed. It was there from the Old Testament, the beginning to the end. I realized that's God's heart and purpose for me. That I live for him. That sin is not. I'm a new creature in Christ. He lives in me. This gives me the power that I don't have to sit under the table and let the enemy kick me all over the place. And I am seated with Christ at the right hand of God. And then God gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us His Word. His Word becomes a life if we seek Him and allow Him to do this. God gives us the tools that we need. He equips us for the calling that He has for us. They are His gifts of love to us. But just as there is, and this is the first thing that we need to build, something solid, a rock. If I would go and build a house on the sand out right by the ocean, I wouldn't feel very safe because I wouldn't know at what day, what hour we'll have a storm and that roof will be on my head. So there would be fear. I would be afraid because the foundation is unstable. So there are things that can cause our foundation to be weak. If we're not saved, no, we have no foundation. But if we're saved, there still can be weak spots. Humanism, like our own reasoning, our own thinking, fear, unbelief, bitterness. There's lots of things, but if we're not sure, we need to find those weak spots. God will show us. You know, if we can't, we can always find someone to pray with us, to help us through. But we should find those weak spots and clear those for our own good. It will give us better clarity and vision for life, for the things we're called to do. The tools that God gave us, the Spirit and His words, will help us find those spots. I grew up in a religious home, but not a Christian home. And I was taught many good things, thank God I was. But I was, a lot of things, there was no teaching. And so after I got saved, the things I was taught right helped me tremendously. And the things I was not taught were a great hindrance. It took a long time for me to change a lot of those things, but I was in the middle of having children, raising children, trying to find my own way in life, and then trying to undo, you know, those things. So, young girls, don't wait till you are in the heat of the battle to learn those things. Learn how to live now. Prepare your hearts for what God has you. It's much easier to do it when you're young, you're teenagers, you have time. Instead of waiting till you are in those moments, then try to do everything at once. It becomes difficult. Teaching our children how to live won't save them. There's only one thing that will save them. That is God. His Spirit needs to connect. Our children need to find their walk with God. But we can put tools in their hands that will benefit them tremendously when they do get a hold of God. So when we go to build a house, we don't go to town and just find a person like, do you know how to build a house? Well, come build me a house. There's things that we need to know. First of all, I want to know that builder, and I want to know that he builds a good house. You want to know, you need a blueprint. You need someone that knows what they're doing. And when you go to Phoenix or Arizona and you build a house, it's not going to be like a house you build here. Climates are different. So you need to know all those things when you build this house. You want to know what it's going to cost. You want to know how you want to build, how you can afford it. So a lot of thought is put into this. When we build a house, it's with intention, it's with purpose. I'm going to live there, I'm going to use it. How do I want it to be? I want it to be efficient, I want it to work for me. So these are all things that we consider, and that's how it should be with our life. We can go through life haphazardly and hope things turn out well, but they probably may not turn out well if we don't put thought, intention, and purpose into what we're doing. A house, when you build it, the pieces are cut to fit. Sometimes God has to cut pieces. That cutting does not feel good. But in order for it to fit, we need to allow God to prune and cut and mold those pieces in our own life, personal relationship with Him. Detail is important. If you put up trim, you don't want a house that has a 1/4-inch gap on one side and it fits on the other side. You want things cut so it looks, so it's well built, sturdy. Well, I have kitchen cabinets, and they weren't well built, so the doors are always falling off, the hinges don't work, the drawers don't work, they're a pain sometimes. I love things that are well built, easy to maintain. I get frustrated when I buy China-made stuff that lasts for 2 months, so I'm always excited to find something. Hey, it's sturdy, it's made to last. And that's how we want to live life. We want to build things that are sturdy, that last, that we can pass to our children. A good building takes knowledge, it takes skill, hard work, right tools. The three little pigs went out. One built a house of straw, one built a house of sticks, and one made bricks. The one house was strong enough to keep the wolf out. So which house would you want to live in? But we must give God the pieces. If we don't give God the pieces and allow Him to measure and fit, our house might not look too nice when we get done. Imagine if God will build our house in heaven with the pieces we give Him, how will that look? And then we get married, and guess what? We have a husband that doesn't think like we do. And like me, my husband and I are so different. We are so opposite. He lives life, excitement, just wild, dangerous stuff excites him. And I'm just this person that could happily live inside my four walls and not go anywhere or do much of anything. I like to work. That's my thing. And so, when we get married, you have to learn to blend two two very different people. Sometimes husbands, wives are more compatible, but God wants to take his life and my life and blend them. So there's rubbing, bending, shaping, molding, doing life. You have to learn these things. He wants to take two very different lives and blend them into one. And then you add children to that mix. All the children are different. They all have different personalities, different needs, different everything. And so you have to learn how to relate to your children and their needs. Take care of them, nurture them. And then with the family, you will have a church with family units. Notice there's plural units. He wants to build his church. There's a whole lot of things going on with relationships. And God wants, has a purpose for this. The older I get, the more I see. Everything is about relationships. God wants to take all these different pieces and units and blend them into one, making something beautiful. And I think this is why family and marriage family and church family are so important to him, because it represents Christ and his bride. It represents to those around us who God is. Not one person, not one family can do it on their own. We need to work together, blend together as a family to show our lost and dying world Christ. Is there anyone, or there's sometimes relationships can get icky and sticky and yucky? But that's why Christ died, to redeem those things, to fit us together, to make a beautiful temple, to glorify himself. Our homes are a good place start with to make disciples with our children, teaching them how to live life. We put tools into their hands, and a good place for them to start learning how to do relationships is with their siblings and in their home with the family. One good place to start, well, honor your father, mother, but the golden rule. And I find that teaching these things are very challenging. It's not something you can say one time and it's done. Line upon line, precept upon precept, day by day, every day, teaching and training. And you pray and ask God to grow them into what he wants them to be. But I like the golden rule. It's a good way. And look, you can put this in a way that little children can understand. Many times when two of them, there's bickering, and they come to me before I even ask what happened. I will ask them both, if I do to you what you did to them, would that be okay? Their answer will reveal their knowledge of good and evil. And so you deal with your attitude, not them. I'll take care of them, but we are talking about what you did, your response to this situation. And I will take care of what goes on over here is not your business. That's a hard thing to learn. Another one is, be ye kind one to another. I had a sister one time tell me what she told her children. When they do something, and this is like, look, children, young children can be taught this. It gets them to thinking. If you ask them questions, get them to think their own actions through. Take a look at your hands. You know, when they do something mean or something unkind, why did God give you these hands? Did he give you these hands to hit someone, to be mean? What about your feet? Did God give you those feet to go do something to someone you shouldn't? Kick someone or to go places you shouldn't? It gets them to think about their actions. And their tongue, that's a big one. I wish I would have known what I do now when I started raising children. Could have saved myself a lot of heartache. But I have found that when they are young, like 2-3 years old, you can put a name to their actions. I have a little boy in my home that I've been working with her babysitting, and I was amazed. At first, they don't understand, but when they come, one day he came downstairs, and he went back upstairs. He didn't say anything. Girls had sent him down to ask me something. He went back up. Yes, she said yes. And he didn't ask. So I took that moment and I said, you lied. That was not the truth. And he didn't really get it at first, but consistently doing it, it was not long until I asked him, what did you do? And he would say, I lied. And that can be done with a lot of things. Put a name to their actions. When I ask him now, what did you do? I had a temper fit. I lied. Or I disobeyed. No. One time I asked him, I wondered, he had done something. So I asked him what he did. Told me everything but that one thing I wanted to hear. So I knew that he knew. And it's very, it awakens their conscience to right and wrong, and which will benefit them greatly. When they get saved, when they get out, that will stick with them. Being deceitful, being disrespectful, manipulating. If you name those actions, it will help them when they get older, that the Spirit of God can convict them when they are in those situations, or the Spirit of God can remind them, don't go down this road, don't do that. This is wrong, that is wrong. And instead of, you know, often in defending ourselves, we actually are not telling the truth. That was a big one for me. I thought I'm a truthful, honest person. Well, after I got saved, I discovered I was not, because of those little things. I would give the story a little twist just to just put a little spin on it, and it would give a whole different picture of what it was. The Holy Spirit had to really work on me, like, no, that is not the way it was. That is not the truth. So these things can be taught when they are 2-3 years old. It will save you and them many heartaches down the road. Be consistent. Love your enemies. That can be taught to young children. Someone is unkind to you. How do you respond? You are kind to those who mistreat you. No, you shouldn't let. If they get mistreated, go tell your mom and dad. Don't take matters into your own hands. Forgive. This is a big one. Teach your children to forgive. Help them through those rough spots. There are times they will. If you are in a family unit, in a church unit, there will be times when they will be hurt. It's a given. It's just called life. But teach them, walk with them through forgiveness. Teaching them to be kind. Your enemies. And they will grow up. They will have friends. Naturally, they will like some better than others. We all relate better to some people than we do to others. Maybe it's personality. We like some personalities better than others. We relate better to some people than others. But across the board, the golden rule, be ye kind. All those things apply to everyone. Whether we like them or we don't like them, we still need to all treat them the same. That's how God does to us. God is not a respecter of persons, and He doesn't want us to be that way. It is more blessed to give than receive. That's something we can teach our children. Don't look out for the good of others. See where you can help others and be a blessing to others, because you are the one that will benefit from it as much more than the person that you bless. Be content. Be content with what you have, with where God has you. Bloom where you're planted. Do what God has for you, no matter who sees it. No matter how big, how little, learn to do what God has given you. Be happy and be content. Be responsible. Do the things that you need to do. I love teaching children, especially little children, but I just thrive to see them doing what they need to do without being. Then I have a story. It's called To Kill the Devil. Jim and Mary. They were living in, I think, Chicago, Illinois. And they had this home that they lived in for years and years. It was where they grew up. It was where they got married. It was... It had their little house full of memories. And the town wanted to build a railroad right where their house stood. So they had no choice. They had to give it up. And so they went to Wisconsin. They bought were looking for land. And they found this place that was cheap. And it was a nice farm. Fertile ground, but they could not figure out why was this place so cheap. They said, well, we'll ask the neighbors, and they found out that this contentious old neighbor was so rotten that no one wanted to live next to him. So Jim said, we'll buy that place. I'll kill that devil. He was quite horrified. What? But she later found out what he meant. They bought the place, and it was not nice. I don't know what all he did. Clipped the clothesline one day, and her clothes, she found her clothes laying in the mud. Poisoned their dog, even though they would take. One day she had a basket ready, bread and stuff to him. Before she took it, they found out he poisoned their dog. She was really mad, and her husband said, "You still want to take that basket over there?" Well, she thought about it, and she decided, yes, she would. And one day, he was taking his load of potatoes to town, and right out in front of the house, his tractor broke down. Didn't go anywhere, and there he was stuck. He went out and helped him. And so he started talking. Jim started talking to, I don't remember what his, Rose, what was his name? I don't remember what his name was. But they pulled him out, and that started a relationship. They invited him to the house, and they had him over later, so finally the story came out. He used to have a wife and a son, and they were killed. And he just basically got bitter and angry at God. But because they kept on turning good for evil, this man got saved. So we find that life is full of fitting and together to make a beautiful building. God is building his church. His church is a beautiful temple. We are the apple of his eye. And I used to fear adversary. I don't like confrontation. But I found that don't look at confrontation, adversary. You look at it as opportunity. That God can change these. God is bigger than these mountains that sit in front of us. God is the author of redeeming these things and making something beautiful. So in conclusion, let's walk together, pray together, serve our mighty God together, so that one day we can all live together forever. And now, Rachel, can you come help me finish?